Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry. We are in our last hour of Thursday's show. God, these weeks just go by so quickly.
They really do.
But I am very excited because this is the first time we're doing what will become a monthly segment where we get updates on what's happening in Wisconsin beer news. Because obviously, if we're going to talk about the Packers and we're going to talk about arts and we're going to talk about beer, because that is a cornerstone of Wisconsin culture. So here to talk about it is the Wisconsin beer baron, Chris Drosner.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on again.
So just as a reminder, Chris has been on here before, but he is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and has also been authoring the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal for the last 11 years. Talk about time going by quickly.
Long time.
And we're going to do this once a month. We were supposed to have you last week, but then we got bumped by the January 6th hearing. So, you know, that was kind of important.
But things happen.
Yeah. Things happen. But what's going on in beer news? I've heard something about Milwaukee Brewing and Eagle Park.
Yeah, so
just make sure you pull.
This is kind of two sides of the same coin. So during the summer, Milwaukee Brewing put itself up for sale,
yep.
And it was heading toward auction, where liquidation auction, basically. And this is just to remind everybody: this is the big brewery. Right downtown, right near Fiserv Forum, mm-hmm. The Glass and Griddle was a restaurant on the other side.
It's basically where Pabst, they go to the Pabst.
Yes, it's in a former Pabst warehouse.
Yes.
Yeah. So, it is a big brewery. It looks like a big brewery to regular people, to beer people. It's an even bigger brewery. It's a huge production capacity. It's a big brewery. They didn't quite meet the bills for that big brewery, yeah. So. Milwaukee Brewing essentially was broken up. And since the last time we were on, Kristen, the buyers of these two kind of different pieces of the business have come forward. So the key thing is Wisconsin or Milwaukee Brewing beers are going to be continuing. So Eagle Park Brewing, which has a big brewery in Muskego and a small one, a small tap room on the east side.
That's where we first met.
That's right. We had beers there. Is buying Milwaukee Brewing's brands. So that means beers like Louis Demise, Outboard Cream Ale, OG, the big wit beer. Those are all going to continue, and they're going to be made by Eagle Park. And the cool thing about this is Eagle Park is good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're only about 6 years old. And they've already grown that's a lot of stuff going on for a brewery that's only 6 years old. So, they're good at selling beer. They're good at making beer. I think the beer that we've come to know and love from Milwaukee Brewing is probably going to get better under this arrangement. And, and it's definitely going to be sold better. I think, Eagle Park has pretty good sales force. Their branding is pretty good. And I think, I co-host a monthly live stream on Badger Beer News called the Badger Beer Hour. It was just last night. So you can check it out next. It's the third Wednesday, 8:00 PM, third Wednesday of each month. Anyway. But Jake Schenker from Eagle Park came on and was talking about how they've already, Milwaukee Brewing beer made by Eagle Park is on its way out the door basically right now. So there won't be any there's not going to be any gaps in sales or anything like that. And he's really excited about what they're going to do with the brand, kind of just bringing it a little bit up to date, but keeping that kind of classic. Milwaukee Brewing has been around since 1997. So there's a lot of history. Not like Pabst, Schlitz,
relative history,
but craft beer goes,
that's an
OG in craft beer terms. So that's one side of it. And they also have plans to, I should say, Eagle Park also has plans to bring back a physical space, like a tap room, probably a brewery tap room for Eagle Park or for Milwaukee Brewing in the next maybe 2 to 3 years. It sounds like. So that's one side of it. The other side is that big brewery. So mm-hmm. Eagle Park did not buy that brewery. They just bought the recipes, the branding,
yeah.
All that stuff. So that brewery has a pretty exciting buyer. It's called Pilot Project, which is a Chicago outfit. And they refer to themselves as a brewery incubator. So instead of being like a brewery that makes like say Eagle Park makes, you know, Demon Haze IPA, and that's Eagle Park beer, they make beer for small startups basically that want to become their own brewery. And the whole model of this is based on giving creatives, creatives with beer or beverages. They have a couple hard kombucha brands under their, I think they will do anything that's a good idea in like kind of the alcoholic beverage, fermented beverage space. So what Pilot Project is all about is kind of they kind of base themselves on a record label. So the idea is like say you're a great singer. You're not going to build a recording studio because you want to be a music star. You are going to use somebody else's talents as far as sound engineering and having the physical space and booking tours and running the business. You're not going to do all that stuff yourself. That's the idea with this thing. So they provide all these kind of wraparound services kind of for someone who wants to make beer or a beverage or whatever. And they've had 13 companies that they've worked with so far to kind of launch and start. So all this is like, where is Milwaukee in this, right? Mm-hmm. So this huge brewery, 75,000 barrels a year, that doesn't have, there's not a lot of context right for that, but Pilot Project right now this year is making about 3,500 barrels. But what this brewery is going to do is allow them to take these brands and that they've cultivated and worked with and, you know, helped make it into a thing. They can take these beers national if they want, if that's what the company wants, if the company meaning the brewer or the creative behind it. So basically Milwaukee's going to be kind of the growth engine for these small startup breweries that are all really kind of unusual and different and exciting. So and the idea eventually is for Pilot Project is that they want to set up offices like they have in Chicago, small breweries, and kind of the staff to develop these ideas into viable, you know, beers, business lines, whatever, all around the world, maybe the world, certainly the country. So LA, he's talking about Dan, this is all from Dan Abel, who's the president of Pilot Project. Also on the Badger Beer Hour last night, and it was an amazing interview. He's just super, it's such an unusual idea.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love it. As someone who spent time in startup world, it's basically taking the idea, like you said, an incubator, but it's like the WeWork of brewing.
Yeah.
It's where it was like, we can provide the infrastructure if you bring the ideas, and also the incubator part of it, of helping to bring expertise, mentorship, advice, as far as like go to market strategies and all of these things. Like I think it sounds really cool. And it's also really cool if they're going to set it up in Milwaukee.
Yeah. So, right. And it's not exactly going to be that startups phase necessarily in Milwaukee, but they've worked with, they take applications from anybody who has an idea. And, they're close to 500 applications in the 3 years that they've been open. So, I mean, so many ideas are coming to them, and they pick the ones that they think are most viable and most exciting and develop them. And Milwaukee is where they will become a big thing, right? Like they're already becoming a thing in the Chicago market, but at this brewery here is where they will become big time.
That's a really cool story. All right. Well, our guest this whole half hour is Chris Drosner, who is the Wisconsin Beer Baron. And some of the other news before we go to break, we had four different Wisconsin breweries that placed in the Great American Beers Festival. So what is that?
Yeah.
Who were they and what does that mean?
This is the biggest national competition for beer craft, certainly craft beer, maybe even in the world. And four Wisconsin breweries won medals this year, which is a little down from previous years, but you know, it's kind of a small sample size, so who could say? But these are some pretty cool beers. The only gold medal was Working Draft Beer Company in Madison, and they won a gold for their Clusterade Doppelbock. Which
don't even know what that is.
It comes out in spring. It's obvious. I don't have to tell you it's good because these like big time beer judges tasted 47 different Doppelbox or Icebox and decided this one was the best one in the country. So that's something. Another one, we've got a repeat winner from, this is the only Milwaukee winner, Mob Craft Beer. They're located down in the Walker's Point. And they have a repeat winner in their American Sour Ale called Low Funk, a delightful little light, slightly tart beer with a cool, very cool backstory. But they don't, like, these judges don't worry about that stuff. They're just looking at what's in the glass.
Yep.
Yeah. And then two other bronze medals from Madison. We've got Great Dane Oktoberfest. In a very competitive category, this one had 207 entries.
Oh, wow.
And theirs was the bronze medal winner. And Giant Jones Beer, which is a really cool, really small brewery in downtown Madison. They won in the other strong beer category for a beer called Doppelsticke Altbier, which is a really big, super robust, flavorful amber ale, German-style amber ale.
I will have to check. I don't think I've had all four of the ones that you listed off that won. I'm not sure I've had any of them. So I will
Working
have to
Draft
check
sells
those
a little
out.
Bit here in Milwaukee area, I should say. Mobcraft is statewide. Low Funk is a good beer.
All right.
It's actually won two previous gold medals at this competition. So it is legit. Year after year, it is a winner.
It is a winner. All right. Well, we're going to keep talking about beer news in Wisconsin when we come back from the break. Our guest is Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor at Milwaukee Magazine and the Wisconsin Beer Baron. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest is Chris Drosner, who is the executive editor at Milwaukee Magazine and is also the author of the Beer Baron column for the Wisconsin State Journal. You can find him on Twitter at WI Beer Baron as the Wisconsin Beer Baron. So last time you were here, there was lots of interest in rumblings as far as Trillium Brewery maybe doing something in Wisconsin. Is there any update on that?
Yes, there is. So this is a pretty hype brewery from Massachusetts. They're one of the finest purveyors of hazy IPAs in all the land. It turns out that they had formed an LLC in Wisconsin, and there was all kinds of, like, are they going to open a tap room? All this speculation. It's very exciting. Very exciting time. Turns out that they are just going to sell some beer here this fall and call it a day.
Womp womp.
Yeah. There was some tap, some like draft launch events. The air quotes there don't work well on the radio, but they call them launch events in Milwaukee, Madison. You know, I went to one and it was okay. The Trillium beer is very, very expensive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. $28, $27 for a four pack of hazy
IPA. What makes a beer more expensive than, I mean, I guess it's maybe obvious of the same reason why some wine, but like with wine, sometimes it is, it's packaging, it's marketing, it's price points, just because you want to make it seem like it's more expensive than how the quality that you're getting. So is it the same kind of variables that go into pricing beer?
Sometimes. Okay. Yes. I think in this case, yes. I mean, these kinds of IPAs are expensive to make. They have lots of hops in them, and hops are pretty much the most expensive part of beer, probably.
Okay.
Certainly ounce for ounce. And they use a lot of them in ways that make them, that's kind of what makes these beers really good.
Okay.
I don't think there's $28 worth of hops in that, you know, I mean, and
you said it's $28 for a 4-pack.
I think it was 20. Yeah. Like in that range, maybe
that's
even 30.
Really?
It's a lot. It's
Chris,
a lot. Really?
Chris, for that amount of money, I want magical hops. There better be some lingering effects where I can like fly or something.
They will heal your joint pain. Yes. No, not quite.
There better be weed in that beer.
I mean, I think, well, that's coming. That's already here.
Well, there are CBD drinks.
There are THC drinks. Not in Wisconsin.
Not in Wisconsin.
But
have you had some?
I have not.
Not in Wisconsin?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. I'm interested. So it's both in those, it's both beer and THC. I mean, it's both alcohol and THC.
I think actually I should step back from that, because I don't think they're actually in beers. I think I think a lot of times they're put in seltzers.
Because that's what I think we did a story. We covered that story in Minnesota, because Minnesota randomly, their legislature.
Yeah, kind of accidentally, right?
Yeah, accidentally passed laws that, like, it didn't legalize recreational marijuana, but it legalized products that have THC in it. And so all the brewers up there were just like gangbusters. It's like, all right, this is not going to last forever. Let's figure this out. They're like, this is like, pump this out until they figure out what they did.
One of those brewers is Fair State Brewing Cooperative, which is based in, I think, Minneapolis or St. Paul. Sorry for fans of Twin Cities.
I don't think I have a lot of Minnesota fans. Say, it's fine. Yeah. This is Wisconsin show.
And they have a beer called Big Doinks, which is a great name. And it's an IPA, and it was made intentionally to be very dank. Hops and cannabis and hemp and all that stuff come from the same kind of family tree of plants. So there's a lot of the same kind of compounds in them. So there are some IPAs that use the certain kinds of hops that are super, they smell like weed. They smell like weed.
Yeah.
And taste like weed, kind of. Not that I would know.
I was saying, not that any of us know.
No, nobody's known. So they kind of amped up the character of this beer to kind of nod to this thing. And they actually had a variant at, including CBD at, the Great Taste of the Midwest Beer Festival in August. And it was very popular. and I believe they have done something with actual THC, Big Doinks or some kind of beers, since in celebration of the Minnesota's oopsie.
Oopsie. But, well, it's interesting what you said about Trillium, because I feel like it would be interesting to see, because I would say us in Wisconsin and the Midwest in general, we're not known for necessarily appreciating very expensive things.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting to think if that would sell well. Because you tweeted out after you were on the show last time that there might be updates coming soon. It seemed like there was a lot of enthusiasm and excitement about this beer. But it would be fascinating to find out if they've done the market research, and if the market research told them, yeah, people aren't going to pay this much for your beer.
I think people are. This is a brewery that when people like drive across the country, if you have a friend who's going to be in Boston and driving there, they will buy cases and cases and cases of this beer to distribute beer friends will go in together and pool money and get a whole bunch of Trillium beer coming back, or Treehouse, or, you know, there's some other beers, other breweries like that.
Do you treat it like nice bourbon at that point, where you only drink it on special occasions?
There's a secondary market for all this stuff. You can trade it, you can sell it, you can do, it's a whole world. Not so much in, it's a little bit less common with hoppy beers, because they fall off the, you know, they're best when they're very young. That sounds really weird, but you know, like you don't want to have them sitting around for a while. Whereas like some of these like barrel aged stouts and big like barley wines and stuff like that, like you can trade them across the country to somebody who, you know, can't get them at where they are. You know, it's all about the very regional nature of beer, especially craft beer. So,
well, first, can you stick around for another segment? I know we were only going to have you for a half hour, but I feel like we only scratched the surface.
Sure.
All right. So Chris Drosman will still be here when we come back, because we got to talk about the Badger Beer Hour, and also that a certain someone is going to be in the Milwaukee Magazine women's issue.
Why are you being vague? Who is the certain someone?
Me. Oh, I'm going to be in it.
This is what we do. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the form.
All right. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, our guest, who is now was going to be 30 minutes. Now it's three segments.
I cannot be contained.
You cannot be contained. We just have so much beer to talk about. Is Chris Drosner, who is the Wisconsin Beer Baron, is also the executive editor at Milwaukee Magazine. So what are some of the openings that are happening either in Milwaukee or throughout the state?
Yeah, a lot going on right now. So just last week, there's a brewery in Neenah called Lion's Tail Brewing, and well-respected brewery has done really well in the Fox Valley and you know, around there. And then they opened a tap room down here. It'll eventually be a brewery too, but that's going to come a little bit later. And it's right on North Avenue in East Tosa, not too far from where I live, which is very convenient. I drive by it every day on the way to work, so I'm like, been kind of like monitoring the process and keeping an eye on everything. They opened last weekend, and you're gonna love this. They ran out of beer.
Love it.
Yeah.
Do love that.
They ran out of beer. They had to
clear. For them though.
It's like
when a restaurant opens and they run out of food.
It's super stressful. Yeah. They were slammed. They were so slammed on Friday and Saturday. They had like lines like out the door.
How did they have such a good reputation down here already if they're from Neenah? Like, was it just that much of
They've been selling beer down here, particularly in the neighborhood. You know, Ray's Wine is just down there. It's my local bottle shop. It's one of the best in the city, I believe. People know about their beer a little bit. Beer people know about their beer statewide. Okay. But they've been working on this tap room for about a year, and they've been very, you know, the tap room manager, Nick Leake, lives down here, and he's been, he's been working the neighborhood and, you know, kind of building support, and I think all of that paid off. I mean, it's such a great neighborhood. It's super dense and walkable. So I think it's just a local place to go to, and, it's a nice space and everything. So I think that's part of the success, you know, maybe this means the brewery opens a little bit sooner. I don't know. Because they, you know, they've been brewing, obviously they're brewing in Neenah, but they had to pause to upgrade their brew house there. So they were a little light on beer. It sounded like that, you know, so, we'll see how this all shakes out, but, really nice spot, worth a visit. Another one that opened quietly, last week was a brewery called Supermoon Beer. And this is one of the coolest breweries in the city, I think.
Oh, that's a bold statement.
It is a slow beer is kind of the ethos there. Rob Brennan is the blend master and the owner with his wife. And it's just this little storefront on Howell, on South Howell in Bayview. And he does wild fermentation beer. So beer, and you know, standard beer is kind of, you throw some yeast in it and it ferments and it's very predictable and you know what you're getting and there you go. It's very repeatable. This is the old way of making beer in wooden barrels where those barrels and some, and you know, what you throw in there is a lot less predictable.
So is it like going to the brewing experience over at Old World, Wisconsin? It's a little more like that, like the 1868 method.
He's got, you know, modern processes and everything, but, you're getting super funky, sometimes sour beer, he blends with a lot of fruit, and he'll take different combinations of beer from different barrels and kind of blend it together into a new thing, you know? So it's unlike anything that we've seen in Milwaukee. Well, 1840 does some of this, and 1840 Brewing does some of this in Bayview. And then way back when, Like Minds, you remember Like Minds?
No.
It was a few years back. Before your time. But this is definitely its own thing. And they're they haven't really announced that they're open yet. So sorry, Rob, but they're doing soft openings. They did one last weekend, and, this weekend, the grand opening is next Saturday. So there's a lot going on in Milwaukee beer,
like in beer news. That's why you're here.
Last several weeks.
So, to go back quickly, because it just aired last night, but people can go listen to the recording. So tell us more about the Badger Beer Hour and why people should listen to that.
Yeah, well, my co-host and I, Landon and Greg, we kind of put together it's a news and interview and kind of beer culture show. So last night we had Dan Abel from Pilot Project and Jake from Eagle Park on, and that was kind of special because there was a lot of news. Usually we do one interview a month, and I kind of have some news from like the previous month. It'll be kind of similar to what we're doing here, a little bit more in depth. And we have other segments, like there's an events segment, and we'll do kind of beer culture things, and occasionally we'll do some reviews if we have time. So, and you can find it on, I just remembered that we actually have a URL for it now. It just redirects to the YouTube page, but it's badgerbeerhour.com. How about that?
It's always nice when you can get the domain name of the thing that you titled it.
Yeah,
I feel like that was how I came up with Asgo's Wisconsin. It was when I didn't come up with it, right? The term is Asgo's Wisconsin, So Goes the Nation, which was originally Asgo's Ohio, So Goes the Nation, right? But then Ohio became very red. And I remember when I first came up with it, and I checked everything. I checked Facebook, all of the different social medias, the domain name. I was like, it's all available. I can have the same name for everything. And it's like, that was like a magical marketing moment of, instead of telling someone a million different things. I was like, well, here on Twitter, there's a WI, and here it's a WIS. And blah, blah, blah.
Imagine doing that like 100 times a year. That is what breweries do when they have to name their beers.
Oh, I didn't even think about it. Yeah. Wait, so do they?
Well, that's what they should be doing. They don't always do that. Yeah.
So your other job, when you're not writing about beer in your beer column or
my
doing the Beer Badger Hour, is that you're the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine. And you surprised me today, because in between, since the last time you were on my show, you and I met up and you interviewed me for Milwaukee Magazine's women's issue, and you surprised me with a copy of it, and it's here, and I'm like a little flabbergasted. Like, it's really cool. I've never been in a magazine like this before. So thank you for bringing it.
You're welcome.
You for interviewing me.
Yeah, it was. I think you have an interesting story, and I think what you're trying to do with all of this is very interesting, and I thought our readers would find it interesting too.
And I guess we'll find out, because it hasn't dropped yet. So remind me, because I think I asked you and then I didn't, because I was too busy looking at my own picture,
right?
Because I'm an artist.
We just got that today in the office, which means it was printed probably like yesterday.
Okay.
So it'll be, subscribers will start seeing it in their mailboxes next week probably. And then it'll be on newsstands at like Sendix and Whole Foods, grocery stores, Barnes & Noble, et cetera, et cetera. You know where to find magazines. The following week, so the first week in November.
I'm going to go to all the stores, and I'm going to open them up to your picture.
I just leave it back on.
And I'll just put it back.
The photography is very cool. We had this concept about kind of that. Well, it's one of those things you have to see.
You kind of have to see it, but I will say the experience of filming it and it's with a strobe light, and it was a long exposure time. So when I met with a photographer for this concept, I'm trying to imagine someone less goofy than I am, being willing to do what I had to do to get the picture, because it was posing, but then in simultaneously or in succession, making a bunch of different poses.
Yeah.
And you just kind of got what you got. You're like, all right, let's do it again.
Your background in performance was essential to that photo concept. Yeah, we're not going to ask like the mayor to do that or something. Well, you know, maybe Chevy might go for it, but
Chevy might.
Yeah. But it was something that we thought we could kind of tap your talents a little bit for. So, yeah.
So who else is featured? Because I haven't gotten to flip through it yet. So how do you come up with the people that you want to honor or the women you want to honor in the women's issue every year?
Yeah, so your story is separate. It's not part of the Bettys, but our cover story
someday
every November is the Betty Awards, which is honoring women in Milwaukee who are doing great things that kind of reflect the greatness of our late publisher, Betty Ewens Quadracci. She was our publisher for the first many years of our magazine and really made it into what it is now and its importance in, you know, there's a lot of city magazines in other cities that don't have the standing and kind of the cachet that Milwaukee Magazine does here. And we're very grateful. I'm very grateful to Betty for that. I did not know her, but she was
her legacy.
Everybody, when I meet people out in the community and I say I'm at Milwaukee Magazine, they're like, did you know Betty? And it's like, no, I came a little bit too late for that.
Yeah.
So we have, our Betty Award winners are seven women who kind of embody different aspects of her personality. And, you know, like kind of, there's a bridge builder, there's a creative genius, there's a, actually I think we renamed creative genius, but, there's, Tenacious B is my favorite one.
That is good. That's a good name.
Because it's, you know, like this, she had this grit and drive. And, so every year we do this and, every year I am reminded how much I love this project. Like, you know, we have a round table, you know, because we get community nominations and then we kind of vet them and we're like, we have all kinds of arguments over who should be and who should be a Betty and who's not. And then we get them all together and we tell them, hey, you're a Betty, you know, we do this, this, and this, and we write stories about them and photograph them multiple times. And then they get together and do this round table and you see them, they become like a cohort. And that's the coolest part. And we have an event coming up in December where you can meet the Bettys and hear from them and hear their stories and hear, you know, their outlook on life. It's like a luncheon type thing. It's really cool. I don't want to plug it too hard. I mean, I want to plug it.
Yes, but you can plug it.
But truly, it is a very inspiring and really good event.
In the time that you've been there, has there been a woman who gets nominated multiple times, then one year she doesn't get it, and then eventually she does?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, all the time, like pretty frequently, honestly. Okay. I mean, we also do the Unity Awards in February.
Oh, yeah.
And so those are a little bit different. Obviously, it's not just women. You know, fostering kind of equity and inclusion and diversity in the city. And, though, you know, there's some overlap, you know, potentially. And sometimes we're like, I think we should save this nomination for the Unity Awards. And so,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But I mean,
what is the criteria, not the criteria, but what would be a example, not necessarily a person, but a qualifier for one versus the other that you look at that person's profile and say, I think they would be better for this
sometimes,
versus
you know,
that.
Sometimes it's just kind of the timing of when, you know, we may have done a story on somebody, you know, kind of within in that same calendar year or something. So we might want to push it back a little bit, but I mean, there's a lot of considerations, but, you know, I mean, I think the square focus on unity, for that award makes that one just a little bit different, but there's certainly over. We've had finalists in one who won in the other, and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And really the community, the members who are nominating aren't necessarily thinking about like, is this person right for the unity? They just think, I know this woman and she's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of more how it goes. It's something that we take very seriously, and we it is so celebratory for us. I mean, it's a lot of work, but when we get down to it, at sort of very meaningful personally and professionally. But I think everybody, I mean, we get a lot of positive feedback on
well,
it.
I can't...
And telling these stories is the thing. Like, this is why we're, this is why we do it, right? Is to be able to tell really good stories about really good people.
In our community.
Yeah. And also you.
And also me. I'm like chomping at the bit to read what you, because we talked and I'm so unfiltered, which is probably why I have a radio show.
Oh, it was a good interview,
show.
Kristen. Yeah.
And I left. I was like, did I say anything I probably shouldn't have said? And I was like, I wasn't just having beers with a friend. Like, that was an interview. So I'm very excited to see what you picked out from our conversation to put into the story. And so thank you for interviewing me. Thank you for coming in today.
You betcha. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Chris Drosner is the executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and the author of the Beer Baron column for Wisconsin State Journal in Madison for the last 11 years. You can find him on Twitter at WI Beer Baron. Thank you so much. Stick with us, and then we'll wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.